VentureCast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So these guys are just blasting this, walking down the beach, and well, you have to live in their world for 45 seconds?
For 45 seconds, and then, 20 minutes later, they come back the other way with a rap song that I'd never heard of. So I went up and talked to them, and I said, hey,
I've got a
podcast I'd like you all to listen to. It's called... No, I didn't. I just kept digging my sandcastle.
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
Fellas, how are you this evening?
Good evening, gentlemen.
I am so excited. I've got Jeff Simons in Maryland. Correct, Jeff?
Back in Maryland. Once again, recording from superfan Craig Simons' Fortress of Solitude.
So. Awesome. Is your bedroom the same? Have they not touched it?
No, there's been much touching and eliminating. So, yeah.
And Ben, are your travels for the summer done? You're in Knoxville.
No, I'm done for until late August.
Hunkering down, eating chocolate.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to 50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys here on the Electrocast Podcast Network. Reach out to us on the Facebook or Instagram, or what's Instagram's new thing? Threads. We're done with Twitter. It's over, people.
Did you like when it just turned into an X on your phone? That was pretty crazy.
Dude, I deleted it.
You're done? Yeah.
I was like, this dude just shows up and kicks me in the nuts every day. I don't know what I'm doing here. Like, why do I keep going to this stupid thing?
Why do I do it?
Yeah, I actually weirdly kind of
miss a little bit, but it was so unbearably awful. I was like, what is going on? Like, when he changed it to X, I was like, okay, listen. Like, every morning I woke up and he was like, please drop this. Don't you want to delete this? Can't you see what I'm telling you? I want you to go away.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he really has given us so many chances to just stop.
Yeah. So maybe I managed to take one.
Trying to help us. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I want out too. Like, I got this weird thing where I've got some music momentum on there, but I don't know if it's worth it. Like, I could just go over to Threads. And I will say, though, I don't know whether it's the connection to this podcast, but the Dylan EP is kicking along like a little bunny. It's being listened to, so I assume you guys to thank for that. So
love it.
But I'll be doing a live on the radio broadcast on August 15th in Roanert Park. So I'll be sure to give you guys full credit.
And what is that? Say it again. August 15th.
Oh, I'm just doing a live. There's a radio show in Roanert Park that interviews local artists, and it's my turn coming up next week. So
yeah, you'll let us know the time so we can listen live.
I will let you. Well, you can't hear it from it. I don't think the FM signal will travel all the way to.
Well, I'm sure they simulcast it.
Yeah,
I'll find out.
The internet.
I'll find out.
Come on,
dude. Give us a little peek behind the scenes. What are you gonna play?
We don't know yet. Like, I'm still in conversation with the three fellas about what they want to play. And we're still trying to figure out if we're going all acoustic or we're going to crank it up. And so we'll figure it out about 25 minutes before we go in, I think, is knowing us. So,
well, you should know we had a family clean playlist. We had to clean the house. So we all got to choose one song.
Oh, I thought you meant a playlist without bad lyrics in it. Yeah. I assume every plain family playlist is clean.
No, we meant cleaning the house. Fuck that. Anyways, we went ahead. I put on Tell Me Mama by Jeff Simons. So nobody knows that it's you. And we were all dancing around, cleaning our little butts off and jamming to your song. And I said, what did you guys think of that song? And they're like, oh, that was pretty good. That was good rocking. I'm like, guess who
pretty
it was?
Good.
Jeff Simons. And they were singing your praise.
Shocked. They were shocked that it didn't suck. That's great.
After I helped them off the floor.
Right.
No, we need to start tonight's podcast. Not with the name of the city, but with an apology. I'm going to open up to you guys. I know that the shtick for the three seasons we've been doing this is that I'm the newbie. I'm the guy who doesn't know a lot about music, and I defer to you and your encyclopedic knowledge to help me along and help me understand things. I'll be relying on that tonight, even. But deep down, we all know that I know a thing or two, that like I can name the second most famous duo in British pop in the 1980s, and you guys can't.
By the way, you just reminded me of this boy's life. I know a thing or two about a thing or two. That's not praise to me.
But I think, so there's been a band, and I'm like, I think you guys have been way too hard on them. And I'm like, they're not that bad. And why are they always shitting on this band? This band is good because I've had their greatest hits for years and years. So I go to mow the lawn 2 days ago, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to listen to this band. Not their greatest hits, because Spotify does a this is blank, and you get to explore the whole range
of
the whole artist.
Indeed, you do.
Oh, yeah, I love this. Keep going, Timmy. Warmer, so better, closer.
For 2 hours, I listened to Spotify's This is Steely Dan playlist.
By the end, you had your head under the blade, and you're like, I'm so close. I'm so close.
My favorite part of this is the humble brag that Tim owns so much fucking land that it's a 2-hour mowing job.
Well,
that's my favorite part.
No.
He's out there in the rider mower out in the fourth quadrant, like
I had to
big house
sticks.
Is off in the
All
distance.
Right. All right. Killing me. It is not that big a yard. It's me getting tangled with the electric cord of my mower. Anyways.
Oh my God, I have the same thing. I have an electric mower. How many have you run over? I've only run over one. And I feel like that's amazing. I'm clean.
I haven't.
Okay.
Done
oh, really? Because the other, like maybe 6 months ago, I finally did it. I was like, turn, pivot, grab, miss, boom. Like just
terrifying. Right, electrocute myself.
Oh man, that's not good.
So anyway, Steely Dan, terrible. They are awful.
Outside of
those like 4 or 5 songs I know and love, they have just some howling dogs. And the weird, like the number of times he says like she was so young and pretty, like how many songs does he have about underage women? All right, hey 19. Oh, but jeepers.
It is the 1970s. Just about every rock band is writing about underage girls. It's one of the super creepy subtexts of 70s pop music. But going back to, well, she was just 17. You know what I mean? Which is one of the most
unfortunate,
unsatisfying
rhymes.
Couplets in Beatles history, too.
They shouldn't have.
Am I going to be the Steely?
Up the number from Sweet Little 16. Like they moved it up 1 year, so that's. I'm not bragging on it, but it's better.
And they probably were 17 when they wrote it, so they weren't exactly 35. But am I going to be the Steely Dan defender of the three of us? They're super pretentious, and their bad stuff is unlistenably bad. But
it's
they're not
unlistenable.
Terrible. They're not a worthless band, and I'm sure there are 10 really good Steely Dan songs.
I do not know who does the This Is Blank.
Right.
But you can really tell a lot from a band by what's selected in there. And as soon as you said you listen to that for Steely Dan. So, dear listeners, my suggestion is that don't start with a This Is unless you already like the band.
Yes. Amen.
If you don't know the band, just listen to the 5 most listened songs. Frequently, like Aretha Franklin's a great example, the top most listened song is not the person's best song. But that being said, if you listen to their 5 most played songs, one of them is one of their good songs. And if all of them suck, you're like, well, that was nice. I don't need to have a whole This Is experience. I've heard your 5 most played songs and I didn't like any of them.
That's
if you go
a great
to the
point.
This Is, and particularly, I mean, I haven't done it for... I have not done it for Pink Floyd, which surely to God would be even worse than the Steely Dan one. But if it's a This Is by an obsessive fan group that's really annoying, which by the way, Steely Dan is, then you're going to get like, just going to pound you with the deep cuts. And I mean, like like the This Is for Steely Dan will be like, and not only are they deep cuts, they're emblematic of a particular Steely Dan mood. But I feel it's important you understand because this is Steely Dan. So
that's
good.
So well said.
I mean, really so well perfect. Said. I wonder if it's just like three guys in the This Is offices at Spotify and like, hey, what are you going to put on the Steely Dan? Oh, get this. I'm going to put
I don't even like This Is
Jose's
Wilco.
Last Cantina. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I find that This is like deep tracks on Sirius XM. You know, it's like there are tracks on there like where the band is like, oh, I forgot about that one. You know,
all right.
But there are 10. There are 10 good Steely Dan songs. Are there not?
No, there definitely are not. No way.
Oh, come on. Do it again.
Too high.
Nope.
Do it again.
First of all, you didn't even start with the right one. What's the right song to start with?
Ricky, don't lose.
Reel It
In The
Ears. Reel It In The Ears. That's their one good song. That's the only one that's undeniably good.
I was going to say it second.
The guitar work on that is great. The solos are great. It's an up-tempo number that's not annoying. It's fantastic. That's the only one.
I'm going to try to
name
10.
I'm going to save you some time with the other 9 selections. Oh, each one of them will be like, whoa, no. Yeah, I can't agree.
So just you can delete all of that for a second and we'll see what the listeners think. Do It Again, Reel It In The Years, Ricky, Don't Lose That Number, my Old School.
Oh,
Peg.
Shush. I like Kid Charlemagne.
Oh, I bet you do.
I like that one. Now I'm starting to fade out.
Peg.
There's other stuff from Pretzel Logic that's not bad.
You're not going to
And there's
Timmy
stuff
Peg?
From the early records I'm missing. Peg is hilarious. That song's really funny.
That song FM, blows. What else you got?
I like FM. That song's good.
Oh!
Do, 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 do. I like that one a lot.
All right. My God, we got to stop. We got to save the podcast. Because
the other issue that they have is that they're a keyboard-driven fusion
duo.
Band that thinks that they're jazz players. In case you're wondering, that combination does not work out. There's no reverse of the Rubik's Cube where that turns out to be good.
If you have not watched the classic albums episode of the making of their most bloated record, it will. If you like Steely Dan, you will watch it and be like, see? And if you hate Steely Dan, you will watch it and be like, see? It is so perfect. It's like that movie about evangelical sleepaway camp where everybody was terrified of even... Yeah, Jesus Camp. Everybody was terrified of evangelicals. It was like, this is what I'm talking about. And everybody who's an evangelical was like, exactly. This is what we're talking about. I feel like the Steely Dan Classics Albums Asia episode is the same exact thing. Like, it proves whatever you want to be proven about Steely Dan to you by just being themselves.
Well, this
and
is
it
our...
has Michael McDonald recording 27 different versions of his voice going, it's so funny. It's so great.
This is our gas up episode for Steely Dan. I don't know if I told you guys that. That were just
can you? Yeah,
I have no idea where they're from. Yeah. Hey, real quick before we get to a lovely Minneapolis. Also, another apology. Longtime listener Nina, she's saying that she can't hear the titles of the songs, and we're playing our songs, our picks. And we're mentioning the bands, but we're not mentioning the titles. We got to slow down because do you remember with the restructuring, there was some redundancy and Robot Lady was let go. So just a lesson for us. And Martha, longtime listener, child, she says that when we give the answers to our compilations, we should play a little clip of the song so people like know which one we're talking about.
Well, that's going to be a fun editing job for you, Tim. Enjoy,
yeah, doing that.
Enjoy doing that.
That's what
also,
the interns are for when you get them. By the way, the interns could live in the torture basement where you currently are.
Yeah,
like, they could
really
be tucked in amongst the amongst
there's
the
some sleeping
asbestos
bags over
there.
Yeah.
Peeking out like meerkats. You know. we also owe an apology that we didn't do a whole ton of episodes this summer. I spent some time with super fans, Rich Thomas, Kevin Burax. Some Haverford friends of Ben's and mine, and they were sad about the slow process
of the summer.
Rich, this episode's for you, brother. We're coming in hot.
By the way, Timmy, who did you apologize to? Were you apologizing to Steely Dan by backing the bus over them, or who was the apology for?
I was apologizing to the two of you because under my breath, I've been dismissing some of your opinions as those of just snobs, and that I know as much as you. And Steely Dan's pretty good. It turns out you were right, and I was wrong.
Oh, fantastic. I did not. It was a fuzzy apology. And now that I've drawn it out, I'm very pleased to receive that.
Welcome to Minneapolis. It is season three. We're driving everywhere. And we're in Minneapolis, Minnesota, to see what kind of music scene the City of Lakes has for us.
And spoiler alert, it's really, really good.
It's really, really good. And, you know, usually I pick an arrival song, like we land, hit the tarmac. I crank this song because I know it so well and I associate it with the city. Well, this time, longtime listener Rick, who set us up for Minneapolis, he sent us a message on Instagram, said, here are the bands you know, here are the bands you don't know. Just a great, great message. He's a great fan of the podcast. So, because of Rick, I have been listening to the Gear Daddies for like the last two or three weeks. I love them. I think they're great. So we're going to go with the Gear Daddies as our arrival song. This does everything I wanted a song to do when I was in my 20s. Jeff Simons, Don't Look at Me, from minute two to minute three. I love a song that just goes nuts. The singer just goes nuts. The music goes nuts. I have an emotional life and I need to let this out. Boom. Take it. Do you guys like the Gear Daddies?
Don't know them. Jeff's going to know them.
I know a little bit, not very much. That sounds pretty damn promising.
Yeah, good stuff. You probably know their Zamboni song. I want to ride the Zamboni. No. Hockey. Anyway. Okay. Okay. Well, moving on. I want to go over Rick's list of bands from Minnesota. We're going to play thumbs up, thumbs down, but remember it's an audio medium. So you're going to say up or down. So make sense. I'm going to say the artist thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up. Got it.
Okay. And so this is the insult the listener portion of the entertainment.
Yeah. I like it. Good old Rick.
So, Prince, Bob Dylan, Hold Steady, all thumbs up. We're going to cover them in a little bit. The band Semisonic.
Oh, I like Semisonic, who used to be Trip Shakespeare, who I liked even better than Semisonic. Yeah.
Ben?
Thumbs down. I didn't like either of those bands.
Hippocampus.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs sideways. I don't know them very well.
Jayhawks.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
I didn't know they were from Minneapolis. That's awesome.
Oh, wait, I said Dylan. I meant Replacements. Replacements are from Minneapolis as well, right?
Yeah. They are also thumbs up.
Yeah.
Husker Du.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, enormous thumbs up. We'll be covering them later too, Timmy.
Okay. Soul Asylum.
Thumbs sideways.
But thumbs up.
Yeah. Really? Thumbs up. Runaway Train just kills me. I can't.
Well, that kills it. But the Winona Ryder Soul Asylum is pretty good.
And their cover of Lucinda Williams' Summer of Drugs is like so unbelievably fantastic.
All right, I got to write
Victoria
this down.
Victoria Williams, not Lucinda
Williams. Thank you.
Summer of Drugs. I hope my kids don't like see that note. All right. Lips Incorporated.
That's the dun 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 bum 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 bum. Bum. Talk about it.
The singer in that band was in a band that played with Prince.
All right. All right. Speaking of which, The Time.
The Time, of course. Fantastic. Fantastic.
I've never heard of the Trash Men.
Don't know.
No. Suicide Commandos.
Yeah, Suicide Commandos will play into my story a little bit tonight.
Oh, wow. All right. You got a lot of stories. And then, gosh, he's got, I didn't know Al Green. That's terrific.
Al
he's
Green's got, from Minneapolis? No
I
way.
Yeah, but come on. He's Memphis. He's Memphis. That's just no. like, he was from Minneapolis for like a year or something.
All right. What about?
He recorded at High Records. That's a
what
Memphis
about Sunny Night and the Lakers?
Nope.
Babes in Toyland.
I don't like Babes at Toyland. I think they're overrated and really sludgy. I never liked them.
Sludgy, huh?
Sludgy. It's too slow. I like the whole concept, but I wish the tempos were faster.
All right, I'm gonna check out another band. This is one that I haven't checked out. Suburbs. Anything?
Oh, I like the Suburbs. Tired of My Plans. Credit in Heaven. Good band.
All right, man. Minneapolis has a music scene, does it not?
No question about it.
First of all, Al Green is extra mega not from Minneapolis.
Thank you very much.
So I go to the Wikipedia page. He's born in Forest City, Arkansas. Dude, guess where his parents moved in the Great Migration?
Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids, Michigan. Late 50s, Green family relocated to Grand Rapids,
Michigan. I just
went
to Grand Rapids.
I get to this part. While still a teenager, Al Wilson kicked out of the family home after his religious father heard him listen to Jackie Wilson. He then lived with a prostitute, began hustling, and indulged in recreational drugs. I'm like, oh, off to the races. I like it. Good start. Anyhow, so then I was like, well, I got to stop reading here because surely I can't read the whole Wikipedia page. I got a podcast to do here. So I just searched for Al Green, Minneapolis. Very first one is LinkedIn. Al Green, Minneapolis. Al Green's a great guy and a meticulous worker. The exact kind of person you needed to perform in his arena. I recommend Al 100%. So I'm going to go ahead and make a guess that if that's your top reference on Google for Al Green, Minneapolis, the singer Al Green is not from Minneapolis.
Rick, I am so sorry it went in this direction. We love you. We appreciate you.
And you picked a bunch of great bands. I will happily talk about Suburbs albums with you at some point.
All right. Well, let's get into this little town of Minneapolis. Closest to the pin, city population. Ben, you get to go first.
Oh, I'm going to name the city, not the metro area.
That's correct. How big is Minneapolis, Minnesota?
How many times are you going to ask that question?
No, dude, it's an important question because St. Paul is like 60% of the same size.
It's going to get worse for you, Jeff Simons. Just wait.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go with 450,000.
I'm going to go higher.
It's lower, 429.
Damn, can you see how freaking close I was? I'm so good
You're
at this
good
part
at
the podcast.
You are so good at this.
Well, let's see how good he is, because we're now going to play the game that I like to call Mississippi River Rankings. That's right. Four major cities we've covered now. We've got New Orleans, Memphis, St. Louis, and Minneapolis. Major cities on the Mississippi River. And you are going to rank them in the proper order. Jeff Simons, you get to go first.
I don't even remember what the four cities were. What's the four cities?
don't tell them. I'm off to a good start. I want you to guess this one. One of them is River City.
Once again, yes.
One of them is Omaha.
St. Louis, New Orleans, Memphis, and there Minneapolis. I would like, Jeff Simons, I would like you to put them in the proper order from population.
St. Louis, Minneapolis, New Orleans, Memphis.
St. Louis? No, not even close. Okay, so, it goes Memphis. Oh, sorry.
Stop talking. First of all, Memphis is the biggest city on that list. Memphis is a really big town. Memphis is around 1 million people. It is, sadly, it's fallen behind Nashville, but it didn't, like, St. Louis has had a full metal collapse. I think it goes Memphis, St. Louis, Mini, New Orleans.
It goes Memphis, Mini, New Orleans, St. Louis. St. Louis.
Oh, wow.
St.
Louis is behind New Orleans.
So I was right, except 4 and 1 were reversed, but I have 2 and 3 in the right place. If we were playing Mastermind, I'd have a really good chance of getting it right in the next set of little guys.
Let's go, Ben Barton, with precipitation. Let's go wettest to driest.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Oh, for those four towns?
This is the driest game yet. I'll just say
actually,
that.
Weirdly, I'm really into this game. I really like it.
Wettest to driest.
Okay, so It's either Memphis or New Orleans, I think, is wettest. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go ahead and go south to north. I'm going to go New Orleans, Memphis, St. Louis, Minneapolis.
Excellent work, Ben Barton.
And, I could have done that. I could have gone south to north.
He also he got rid of the category of naming them north to south because it's just the reverse. So final category, Jeff Simons, pro sports championships, most to least out of these four Mississippi River cities, pro sports championships. Who has the most? Who has the least?
Memphis has the least.
That is correct.
And then I'm going to say that New Orleans is third with the next least amount. And then I'm going to go Minneapolis second, St. Louis first.
Oh, awesome. You crushed it. I thought that was the hardest category.
Well, I just figure Memphis doesn't have very many teams, so that was a gimme. And then I'm a Vikings fan, so I know there are no pro football championships in Minneapolis, and that helps narrow it down.
Sadly, that is correct. And St. Louis, thank you to the Cardinals with 11 World Series championships. They're going to be number one. All right, let's go. Companies from Minneapolis: General Mills, Pillsbury, Target, Rollerblade, and Perry Ellis.
Wait, isn't 3M from Minneapolis?
I thought they're from Dayton.
All right.
Perry Ellis was the world's largest manufacturer of what in 1923?
Bras.
Oh, underwear. Nice job. I don't know if they got into bras, but yeah, underwear. Ben Barton all over it. So Minnesota, who knew? I thought it was just this cold frozen tundra. Jeff Simons, have you been to Minneapolis?
Yeah, a bunch of times. I like Minneapolis. I've played Minneapolis three times. I've flown through it a bunch of times. I've stayed there. My best friend from high school went to McAllister, so I stayed with him for a week in St. Paul and did the whole run around the city. I've been to a Twins game. I love Minneapolis.
Did you play with Rich in Minneapolis?
I did.
Where'd you guys
play?
The
Fine Line Cafe.
All right. Yeah. Nice job. And Ben, I remember you have a Mall of America story.
Yeah. I've been to the Mall of America as well.
Okay.
I've been to Minneapolis twice for work and once for pleasure. One of the times for work was in the dead of winter, and it was brutal. I mean, it was really, really cold. I was at a law school downtown, and they were like, "You got to stay at this hotel." It was real expensive, and I was like, "Oh man, you know, you don't have to pay all that for the hotel. Just find me another hotel." And they're like, "Oh, no, this is the only one connected by tube to the building that you're going to. You won't be going outside." There's the Hoth ice planet. That was the first time. Second time I went, and this is a fantastic gig. I spoke to the Minnesota Judicial Conference, and so all the judges were there. Fantastic. The actual conference and the hotel were on the attached to the outside of the Mall of America. And so I woke up, and my tradition is to sort of go get fancy coffee and have a breakfast and then come back in and prepare for my talk. So I entered to the edge of the Mall of America and looked into the vast expanse of it. And it was like, I stopped and I looked at the map, and I took a picture of the map with my phone. And only then did I walk in dropping breadcrumbs, because I was like, I will get lost in here, and like, I'm going to miss my talk. I'll never find
it. Oh my God. It's not, apparently, it's just ginormous.
So my story, I went to the Mall of America 2.5 weeks after it opened.
Ooh.
Like back in the early 90s, I had a flight through Minneapolis on the now defunct, I believe, Northwest Airlines.
Oh.
And I landed in Minneapolis, and they're like, "The bad news is you have an 8-hour delay. The good news is we're running free shuttles to the Mall of America."
Let's go.
I jumped in a shuttle. But what I remember about the size of it, Tim, is this dates the story, but I'm coming up the street and you can see it coming. Like, it's just this massive structure. And then there's this stupid little building next to it. And I'm like, what is this dumbass thing they've built next to the Mall of America that looks like a public library. It was the North Stars Arena. Like, it's, it was next to where the Minnesota North Stars played, and that looked like a post office. But what I remember is I went in, and you know, it's got an amusement park in it. And in 1990, whatever that was, I think it was 1992 that I went to it.
Yeah.
There were like, I don't know, 800 stores, and there were two bookstores, B. Dalton and Walden Books. And I remember thinking, like, we are so screwed, because there were 14 candle stores.
Yeah.
And I just was like, I just had this moment of like, well, it was a good run.
It's amazing to me that such a vibrant music scene, which Minneapolis obviously has, also has such a ginormous mall. I mean, there are over 520 stores currently. The mall has its own zip code. It gets 40 million visitors per year to a mall.
It's insane. Weird too, and it's weird, and it's so big. I cannot overstate the massiveness. Like, you'd have to take a whole week just to walk past everything.
If you spent 10 minutes in each store, apparently you would spend 86 hours going through the mall.
How have they not made Dawn of the Dead 3 in the Mall of America?
Right? Oh my God, I got to write this down. Slasher flick, Mall of America. Okay, got it. So it's right next to my Summer of Drugs reference.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, let's get to the torture basement. Let's get to the compilation for Minneapolis. I put it in the Dropbox, Jeff Simons. All of these songs mention Minneapolis. One song merely mentions Minnesota, and you'll find out why. It's 1 through 15.
Ooh.
On your piece of paper, we're going to get 12. Let's go.
Hello, Washington, D.C. How you doing? Minneapolis, how you doing?
That's a song.
Sad when you go out on the road.
Oh, I know this one too.
No need to worry, I ain't in no hurry. Missouri loves company. Minneapolis, St. Paul. God didn't make the little green apples. It don't snow in Minneapolis. We wouldn't come. So came back to Minneapolis. This time I think I'm gonna stay.
The Mississippi rises and then falls.
I only counted 14. Are you sure there are 15?
I will double check right after this commercial break.
Thank you. This is The Doors. This is drunken Jim Morrison yelling at audience members.
No way. Is that true?
How you doing?
That's the greatest get of all time. By the way, pause just for a second. Tim, did you determine whether they were actually in Washington or Minneapolis or
no?
Nowhere?
I have no idea where they are.
By the
no
way, it's going to be even better when it turns out this is a show in Paris.
I know, right? The only reason I got it was that, and you can hear that horrible Doors organ.
Oh, yeah. That's such a great call. Like, yeah. That's such noodling a great around. Call. Oh, also, by the way, the organ's like, oh, please, Jim. Like that is the sound, like, please just stop talking. You could sing these songs. That would be good.
All right, so we're one for one. I mean, this is so obvious.
Hello, like, Washington, D.C.
The start of a concert.
How you doing? Minneapolis, how you doing?
This is Frank Zappa.
Don't get sad when you go out on the road.
I can't pause it, but we'll just try them as we go.
No need to worry, I ain't in no hurry. Missouri loves
company. Oh, I know this one. This is Ringo Starr.
Yes, it is.
That was one of my random ones, Jeff. So
who's this? Who's this country gal? No idea who that is.
It's Gretchen Wilson.
This is Lucinda Williams.
Yep.
So we're 4 for 5.
Not bad.
Not loving me. This is Bobby Gentry and Glenn Campbell.
Dang it. How do you know that?
Because of the strings.
I never would have gotten that. Maybe it makes me feel
better. Go to Billy Joe.
Do you know how many Little Green Apples recorded songs?
Not with those cheesy ass strings. Tommy Waits.
That's just my Tom Waits song, yeah.
This time I think I'm going to stay.
Janet Jackson.
I love the fact that she says Minneapolis.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis.
Totally.
Lizzo. Right? Is this the time? I hate this. Is this Bare Naked Ladies? Hold Steady. Weird Al Yankovic.
We go anywhere in this great big world now. Where'd you like to go to? He said, Dad.
Oh, yeah.
We want to see the biggest bottle of twine in Minnesota.
I saw him do this live.
That's nice. You're right, it is 14. My apologies, okay. Not 15.
Who's this, Ben?
I believe this is the Everything But the Girl.
But the Girl, me too. That's who I think it is, too. Are we right? Right,
pause.
Stop it. It's fading out.
How in the world did both of you get Everything But the Girl? They had one song in the 80s.
Yeah.
Explain yourselves.
First of all, Tim, I've got some bad news for you.
Go.
Jeff and I were very good boyfriends to the point where we heard that song and we were like, hey, who's that song by? And they were like, that song's by Everything But the Girl. And we were like, huh, that was great.
Oh, man.
So wait,
you, by the way, were like, hold on, skip forward.
This is great Steely Dan song you got.
Yeah,
listen.
Right. You got to hear this song about a young girl that Steely
so
Dan.
So you got 11 out of 14,
oh,
which
come
is
on.
Just like 12 out of 15. So you guys
well,
passed.
What did we miss?
Jeff, you were, again, just carried the heavy load. That was amazing.
So, yeah,
that one was really hard.
We missed Gretchen Wilson. What came after Lizzo?
That was Prince and the New Power Generation.
Was it really? That's a terrible, whatever that song is. Yeah. Minneapolis. I assumed it was the Time sampling Prince.
Yeah.
But it was actually Prince. All right. And then who was the Bare Naked Ladies band?
The Bloodhound Gang.
Oh, are they the Nothing But Mammals band? They are, right? Let's do it like they do it on the Discovery Channel. That was the Bloodhound Gang.
Yeah,
right?
I think so. Because their name of their album is something about beer. I think they're really cool. That was my impression of them.
That was still a wildly solid performance.
Nice job, you guys. Take the W once again. I want to talk quickly about the Minneapolis Monarch Festival. It happens in September, celebrating the monarch butterfly's 2,300-mile journey that it takes every year. An incredible journey. And so
I love monarch butterflies.
Well, that's great. We're dedicating this to them. What we're trying to do right now is determine, because this is something we haven't covered on the podcast ever, your favorite insect or insects. Take monarch butterfly out. Which insect do you respect, admire, love?
Well, those are three different things. I respect the female praying mantis, but I don't know if I'm going to pick her as my first.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't have a good answer for this. Bumblebees. Is that an insect? I like bumblebees.
Sure.
Okay.
Why?
Because they're furry and cute and they don't sting you.
The Chattanooga has not one, but two different aquariums. And the one that they built second has got a full floor. It's a little pyramid. At the top of the pyramid is a glass house with a butterfly garden.
Oh, that's
so
great.
I won't choose the monarchs. But, I mean, dude, the butterfly garden is just entrancing. It was so great. And I brought the girls, drove them down to Chattanooga and their buddies twice a year from when they were teeny all the way until they were like 13, 14. And so, yeah, butterflies are fantastic.
Didn't you and I go to a butterfly garden in England?
We did indeed.
That was fantastic. You remember how great that was? They were landing all over us and like you couldn't. I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah, it's really great. Good stuff. I love those butterflies, which is why I have a little patch of wildflowers at the end of my driveway. It's way, way, way far at the end, Jeff.
Yeah, it's like an hour to mow it. Yeah. We can't move forward without we're recording this Minneapolis podcast in the week that the report on the Minneapolis police came out. I don't know if either of you have had a chance to peruse that document, but good Lord Almighty, does the Minneapolis Police Department need a reset button? It's really, really shocking. I just thought we should probably acknowledge before we talk about all these awesome bands we love, like they holy shit.
The history with race in this area is just chock full of jaw dropping moments. Like I cannot believe that happened, and you're looking at it over and over and over again, from the earliest settlers and their relationship with the Dakota Indians to the movement of migrant workers in the 1800s, because it was a booming city for farms and business. Like it was where you brought all your goods and transported them down the Mississippi River. But then in the 20th century, the covenants for different neighborhoods and who could buy homes and who couldn't buy homes. I mean, it's kind of baked into the city. So it makes sense then that the police department is so rife with problems.
But it's like, you know, Minneapolis and Portland, Oregon, and San Francisco and Berkeley, these places that are, you know, like above the line, super liberal.
Yeah.
And you just look at the management of the place and you're like, dude, it's really disappointing.
Yeah.
Really, really disappointing. I'd have to chew on it, but I can't. I mean, it's hard to come up with like a super awesome, well-run place that has that. Or maybe there's no super awesome, well-run places, period. But I mean that I could that like identify with that political persuasion, and then it's just don't live. Like I just can't stand hypocrisy, and it's just and it breaks my heart too.
Yeah. Yeah. And even before George Floyd, there was the video of the school custodian who had gotten pulled over.
Yep.
Live on and Facebook. He was killed. Yeah. And it's just like, it's a city that's given our country a little bit of momentum, but of course in the worst way possible. So we're hopeful. We're hopeful with such great thinkers and great artists coming out of Minnesota that we will also have progress on that end. The Justice Department is revamping the police department.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I have a question for the two of you with children. Like, what's your kids' relationship to the police?
Yeah.
I was shocked this summer. I had so many conversations with young people who have given up entirely on the police as anything other than an instrument of private property protection and thuggery. I was really like, it gave me pause because these are not kids who I would have ascribed that point of view to or expected from. And it was pretty universal. And the police have a lot of work to do to convince the upcoming generation that they should be called when people are in trouble. I'll just leave it at that.
100%. Well, I'll just say in regards to some of my conversations, it's like, well, no, there are still criminals. You know, there are still some people who wish to do us harm. They do exist. And it's nice to have someone to call when there are those circumstances. Like, for instance, I don't know, a giant brawl happening on a Riverwalk dock in Montgomery, Alabama. It's good that we have police there to break things up.
Oh, dude, I remind the girls of this all the time. And to the point where now I've had to stop doing it because it's so annoying. But
yeah, me too.
I can tell you with India, like the high crime communities would like to see police reform. Under no circumstances do they want to see police eliminated. You got to live in a really nice neighborhood to be like, we don't need any police. Like,
right.
If you live in a neighborhood where there's crime, you're like, well, I wish they wouldn't shoot us. Also, like, I wish that it was worked a little better, but I promise you, we do not want to defund, eliminate, get rid of the police.
Right.
What we need is a good working police department that's going to actually drive down crime where we live.
Yeah.
And in the police's defense, which will drive my young listeners crazy, it's an impossible job right now as created. So it's being done badly because it's designed badly. Part of it is a design problem, not just a human problem. And there's a lot of human problem in there as well. So.
Well, good thing we are moving on. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on. Let's get to Minneapolis's favorite son. Ben, I know you're going to cover him, but there's no one to compare. We got to play a little Prince song, but it gives us a chance to have a conversation about what makes a good pop song a good pop song. So give us 45 seconds, Jeff. All right, Jeff, you once walked us through the mayor of Simpleton, and you talked about it as this guiding light for one of your classes in your rock band class. Could you teach a class on this song?
Yeah, oh yeah, totally. I was just sitting here thinking about what a coward I am as an artist. Like this is such a brave. There's literally nothing going on when it starts. There's like Lynn drum machine and a little bit of bass synthesizer, and then that outrageous falsetto voice, like mixed right into the center of your face. And by the time we get to the end, it's like there's that huge chorus, women, not girls. And there's been a killer little guitar solo. But yeah, it's just like it builds. Like you remember everything. It's song. And instant the song is over, you're like, I need to hear that again. You want to run it right back. It's 3 minutes long, but it feels like it's 45 seconds long because it's so perfectly written. And it's just so audacious. It's audaciously minimalist and then catchy. And I mean, I would never have the guts to put something out like this because it's so stripped down and elemental and just relying on each piece in a way that most songs can't unless they're perfectly crafted. So yeah, you could totally do a whole. This is like you take When Doves Cry and take out another 75% of the sound and still have a number one record. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Dude, it's such a mature artist song. So there's so much belief in himself. And I'll do this when I cover the early years of Prince. The other thing is, to my mind, his growing stronger as a guitarist and feeling more confident in the guitar is the secret to success. That's what unlocks it all for him. And this is a spare, empty song. But when you go back, it's a little bit like those James Brown songs where I was playing you what Catfish was playing. Like,
right.
The guitar is the entire instrumentation. And it only comes every 5 seconds, but it's just fantastic all the way through it. So perfect. You don't need anything more. It's a full meal. It's just perfect.
Well, I was thinking of I told you about those boys, those juniors in high school walking down the beach in South Carolina, and seven or eight of them, and they've got the not even a boombox. I don't even know what it is these days, but they're wearing it's like a giant karaoke machine as they walk down the beach. And Jeff Simons, you're going to play a little bit of this song. This is the song that they were singing at the top of their lungs, blasting down the beach so that nobody could like avoid them. Everyone has to look at these juniors in high school as they sing this song.
Full moon shining bright, edge of the water, we were feeling all right. Back down a country road, the girls are always hot and the beer is ice cold. Cadillac, hey, horns on the hood. My buddy Frankie had his dad hook him up good. Girls smile when we roll by, they hop in the back and we cruise to the riverside. Never gonna grow up. Whoa. Never gonna slow down. Whoa. We were shining right. Like lighters in the dark right. In the middle of a rush.
So that's a country song, but obviously it's just pop and it's an anthem that they're trying to create. And these kids were buying in, like gobbling up this perfect country pop song. And Ben, you were talking about your daughter getting embroiled in kind of country pop world with her friends. What's the difference? Like, why should I hate that song and love Prince's Kiss? Because they're both neat little pop songs. Shouldn't I like both of them?
That was an amazing get to me. I really like that. You were like, there's one sandwich and it's filled with feces. And there's another sandwich filled with turkey. They're both sandwiches. What are you complaining about?
Each
like, that is true that those were both songs. I agree. And some songs are good. That doesn't mean that all songs are good.
All right, right.
You'd be a great political commentator, Tim. How are you not on late night talk show? Like,
and the beer is ice cold.
Well, I mean, so that's part of it, right? Like, Kiss is a song about, I mean, in some ways you could argue Kiss is a song about nothing. He thinks somebody's hot, but it's interesting and it's introspective and it's weird and it's individual, right? Like It's even if it's an it's a universal expression of something, it's done in a way that is unique to the artist. Whereas this is an attempt to be something anybody might yell on a beach, right? Like the whole point of this is how can we get to a point where I'm the individual nature of the song is lost behind its anthemic qualities. That's basically just Hey Soul Sister and the Eagles and Katy Perry all smooshed together into one thing. It's got the millennial whoa thing, and it's, you know, standing on the corner of Winslow, Arizona, and it's the chord progression is Hey Soul Sister, and it's got the little mandolin thing. Like, it's pieces of things that have already been popular. It's like Denny's, right? It's all the ingredients of good food prepared all wrong.
Oh yeah, and it's also really unfair to compare it to Kiss. We're lucky if there's a song a year that's like Kiss, where it's so unusual,
yeah,
so fantastic that it's like nobody imitates it. Like, I can't think of another song that came out immediately after Kiss that was like, wow, Kiss was a huge hit, I'm just going to do that again. Hey Ya was like that too, where it was like, just came out unbelievably fantastic. Everyone was like, wow, thanks for that. We're good. We're going to try and imitate it. Whereas Royals, you have other versions of pop music, especially this type of country, that's very iterative. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, we're working on a theme here. We got same chord progressions. We're going to lay some other stuff on top of it. We're going to be 90%. It's like a ChatGPT type song. It's like,
it really is.
You could tell them what you want and the chords that you want, and they would just spit it out right exactly here. And that's fine. And honestly, it's mean-spirited because I just don't really care for that genre. Genres that I care about, songs that are like that, I'm like, fine, sure.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I know. Give me another AC/DC song. That's fine. I like the next one.
Yeah.
But I hate this because I was going to hate it. Because it's, I don't know. I feel like this is reductively stupid. Like, it's stupid to make a point of stupid is as stupid does. Right? Like, it's an attempt to say, like, anybody who aspires beyond stupid is a pain in the ass. Whereas I don't feel that way about every stupid song, but this one in particular,
well,
me the wrong
you'll be happy.
I feel like it's, you know, by the way, I really like the idea of asshole karaoke.
Oh yeah.
Like we have to pick the worst song from every city we go to be forced to do as a karaoke performance. I think that would be a great game.
Soul Asylum, was it
Runaway
Southbound
Train?
Runaway Train. Oh, golly, that thing.
So these guys are just blasting this walking down the beach, and you have to live in their world for 45 seconds?
For 45 seconds, and then, you know, 20 minutes later, they come back the other way with a rap song that I'd never heard of. So I went up and talked to them, and I said, hey,
I've got a
podcast I'd like you all to listen to. It's called... No, I didn't. I just kept digging my sandcastle. All right. Let's get to our three artists or moments or albums. What are we going to do? Who goes first? Listeners, whoa. We're going to stop right there. Tim Plain letting you know that for some reason, Minneapolis had us going on and on. We set a record for our podcast, went for almost 2 hours. So you know what we decided to do? We're going to cut you off, let you have your life back. Thanks so much for listening to Minneapolis Part 1, and check it out when we post Minneapolis Part 2. Try to figure out why the heck we went so long. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Hey there, I'm DC. I host the rock podcast Back to the Arena, The Interviews. It's about a 30-minute podcast where I talk one-on-one with a band who has released new music. You can find us on all the best podcast sites like Spotify, Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, and more. If you're a rock fan like me, subscribe today to Back to the Arena, The Interview.
Electric Acid.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Peter.
We're the founders of Electricast Media, bringing you great podcasts like Nightmare Road Stories, Tech Talk Revolution, and Bodacious Minds.
Electricast networks include Ruby for female empowerment, The Best Business Network, and GPN for geopolitics. We built this company to create community and amplify diverse voices, and we really appreciate your support.
go. Keep listening to Electrocast podcasts and hear the culture.
Electrocast. Electrocast.